Well, we have come to the time when we're going to welcome Catherine Barnbach. It's her second visit with us, and we certainly enjoyed the last time she came to speak. She is going to be an ordained UU minister in April. She's been an intern up at the first UU church in Portland for the last year. If you enjoy what she has to share, you can join her blog. It's called The Way of the River. And I don't know, are you going to talk a little more about that?
Yeah.
You can? All right. And we are really, really pleased that you came back. Thank you, Catherine, and we'll let you do your thing.
Thank you so much, Madeline.
Just turn it like that.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. So I do want to say first what a lovely time I had when I came in June. You're lovely. You're just lovely. I really appreciate this community a lot. So I'm going to give a reading before my somewhat short sermon, Anthem by Leonard Cohen. Some of you may know it. The birds they sang at the break of day, start again, I heard them say. Don't dwell on what has passed away or what is yet to be. Ah, the wars, they will be fought again, the holy dove, she will be caught again, bought and sold and bought again. The dove is never free. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. We asked for signs. The signs were sent. The birth betrayed, the marriage spent. Yea, the widowhood of every government, signs for all to see. I can't run no more with that lawless crowd where the killers in high places say their prayers out loud. But they've summoned up a thundercloud, and they're going to hear from me. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. You can add up the parts, but you won't have the sum. You can strike up the march, but there's no drum. Every heart to love will come, but like a refugee. But like a refugee. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. My younger brother, who I believe aspires to be Wendell Berry, he works on a farm, is a poet, and is an avid and powerful environmentalist, asks questions of the day on his Facebook page. One day, he asked his readers what experiences or conditions had most caused them to grow or change in their lives. And there were two answers, or collections of answers, that came up most frequently. And Chris and I were talking about one of the answers, which was parenthood. And I don't have children, but I heard over and over from folks as I did a little research for this talk that humility comes up a lot when people think of parenthood, and learning and changing and experimentation. The other answers, though, fell into a group death, heartbreak, grief and trauma, loss. Over and over again, loss. My brother's respondents did not say that they learned the most from their wild successes, but rather they reported from loss. Loss is the first thing we know as breathing human beings. From our births onward, we are lost to some kind of primordial oneness, or what we might imagine to be. We all come to know grief. We all come to know heartbreak. And yet we try to have it all together. We come to believe that having it all together is one of the important goals of life. When I'm really a grown-up, I'll have it all together. And this is how we come to Akilan Dejvari. Try it. Akilan Dejvari. Beautiful. Sort of coming to the lan, tumbling down to the E at the end of Dejvari. Who is she? She is a lesser known Hindu goddess whose name means never not broken goddess. She who is never not broken. She is in pieces, and her pieces are constantly moving dynamically to create experience and to foster wisdom and compassion. Between her pieces, there are various depictions of her. There's either big seams, big threaded seams in her clothes, or she's cracked and sort of moving in pieces, and light shines out from the cracks. Leonard Cohen, he knows Akilan Dejvari.
Of course.
One icon to another. Times of loss and grief are often referred to as going to pieces or falling apart. And the wisdom of she who is never not broken is that in some way our being relies on brokenness. Brokenness is inherent in existence. From birth to death, from death to decay, from decay to rebirth, we are on a journey, and it is a journey of loss. Loss of security, loss of loves, of limbs or their function, of hearing, sight, memory, employment. Loss of identity after identity after identity. And it is those losses that make room for learning. That's not to say, let me be clear, I am not one who says, well, doesn't such terrible thing happen to that person? For a reason. There must be a plan. I'm not saying that. What I will say is that in my experience, loss entered into attentively with gentleness can lead to learning. Loss, after all of these things, are losses of control, of the control we imagine we must have. And sometimes it seems as though our losses can be truly mended, that bits of us are replaced, that we can be made whole in this life. And in the Abrahamic traditions, we are reminded in the book of Job that loss is permanent, that nothing is ever returned exactly to its former state. Job, as some of you may know, and many of you may not, was a devoted servant of his God, and for seemingly arbitrary reasons, lost his health, his wealth, his wife, and his children. By the end of the story, he has new health and scars from his former disease. He has new wealth and land, but it is not the land he lost. He has a new wife. He has new children. And they are beautiful, and he loves them. He names his daughters after cinnamon and eyeshadow. Beautiful, beautiful things. But they are new. They are not replacements for the old. We are not at one. We have sustained losses, and those losses shape us. And through the lens of Akilan Dejavari reality, we are never whole. We are always in pieces, and those pieces and their movement are where holiness and reality are found. There is no need to fight our grief. There is no need to see others as having it all together. We are not together. We are not. We never have been, and none of us ever are. In fact, we are never not broken. Now, don't get me wrong. The ability to emotionally self-regulate is an important part of maturity. We need to learn to deal with our feelings, and that self-regulation is good and right. But I will say that we pretend far too often. I am not together, friends, and neither are you. I am in pieces, friends, and so are you. So let us see. Let us look at one another now and know that. Let us look at one another now and know that. Brokenness, though, is only one way to see divine reality, seeing unity, wholeness, or perfection in the divine is much more popular. Wholeness and perfection have more often won the day over brokenness and vulnerability. But when I have been grieving, as I have been lately, because of physical limitations and illness, and since a dear friend recently died, it is the divine spirit of Akilan Dejavari who comforts me. Her never not brokenness fills my own broken heart with hope, and somehow the light that comes through the cracks in her shines into the dark places of my own heart and helps them heal. And I hope somehow that by embracing my own jigsaw puzzle realities, I may somehow become aware of a point of gravity around which all my losses and broken places turn. And with that said, I'm going to take this microphone and sit down. Having kind of a hard time today. This comes out right. You can mostly see me, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for your patience and indulgence. So I hope to find this point of gravity so that while I acknowledge my never not brokenness, that doesn't mean that I'm flying apart, right? I don't have, at least in this framework, a piece over there, a piece over here, and a piece over here. I am still me.
What is interesting about Akilan Dajvari in this question is that she rides a crocodile. So you see these wonderful Hindu icons of her standing on a crocodile, and she's wearing this big dress with the wide seams and riding the crocodile. Well, why does Akilan Dajvari ride a crocodile? Does anyone know how a crocodile subdues its prey? By any chance? That's right. It pulls it into the water and spins it and thrashes around. So Akilan Dajvari has tamed the crocodile of chaos that threatens to be too much for us, that threatens to kill us. And I think it is her acknowledgement of brokenness that allows her to tame that beast. It suggests to me that not only can we be broken and survive, but that we can ultimately learn, grow as a result of, and even ride the tides of chaos that sometimes come into our lives. After all, allowing our brokenness is part of understanding, and understanding leads to compassion. Understanding that we need to, as Leonard Cohen reminds us today, forget our perfect offering. I don't know how anybody else feels, but every time I read that line, forget your perfect offering, I get chills. It's so powerful. To forget our perfect offering allows us to put down the false face, to lay down the burden of seeking after perfection. Perfection is not what we need. Perfection is not even possible. Forget it. Forget your perfect offering, but make the offering of your life nonetheless. Make the imperfect offering. Have courage. And the only way, Brené Brown, the writer who's gotten a lot of attention in the last few years, talks about how the way to deal with shame, right, which is this fear of being found out or, you know, just being ashamed, is to have the courage to be vulnerable and move through it. Right? So vulnerability is what allows us to make an offering of our lives. It is much braver to be vulnerable and acknowledge our shame and brokenness than it is to keep the face on, the I'm all together on, the first date face. In fact, the offering of vulnerability, honesty, and courage is so much more valuable than anything that might be called perfect or unbreakable. Our broken places themselves may be the offerings we make. Some of the torn and shattered places in my life have come from losing loved ones, living with illness, being fat in a fat-hating culture, and all the slings and arrows that come with entering middle age as a white lesbian in the United States. So some of my places have privilege. Education, whiteness, middle class identity, and some of them do not. Being broken is not predicated on whether you have privilege or not. Being broken is part of existence. It's something that we all share. Understanding and learning to love who we are nonetheless is what allows compassion to come through. We are all moving through this life as though reflected in shards of a mirror. When we come upon others acting out of partial awareness of their own parts and pieces, we can have compassion for them. After all, we act in similar ways, feel in similar ways, and are broken in our own very special ways. So how much more so may we have compassion for ourselves in our inadequacies? There is a prayer in a tradition of one of my teachers that says, "Please, Holy One, I would know myself in all my parts." Not, "Please, Holy One, may I be one, may I be whole," but, "Please, may I know, may I understand, and so may I have compassion." After all, we need neither only the brokenness nor only the solidity of wholeness, but the moving, dynamic shifting of all that is. Blessings on all of us and on our houses. I would invite us now into a time of meditation, particularly on how we may have compassion for ourselves and for others in our brokennesses. I understand now, as I recall from June, that we have a congregation. This is the only one of two congregations in which I've had the opportunity to have the conversation. And we had a great time last time, so I'm looking forward to it. What is on your heart? What is on your mind?
Through everything you said, I've been reflecting on the important relationship between parents and children in forming that acceptance of self. Mm. And thinking that I personally am very fortunate that my mother always told me, expect brokenness, but out of bad comes good, and it will be a learning experience for yourself, because that was her path. And she passed it on to me, and it always gave me tools to deal with grief, sadness, loss. But if a parent always trains the child to seek perfection, sometimes the outcome isn't as favorable.
That's powerful. That's powerful. Thanks to your mother. Thanks to your mother.
Very grateful.
I wanted to say, as a mom and also a pediatrician of 25 years, that I'm sure part of the brokenness in all of us is just the universe. But there is a substantial piece that's created by the way that we live and do things. And as a person who's observed people with their children for a long time, I would just implore you to really step back from standard paradigms of parenting that are so common in our culture, and understand that much of what we do that seems normative or innocent or regular is actually very destructive. And to at least consider that there may be different ways of being with our kids. I think that we really, as a culture, impart tremendous violence, and I don't mean big, I mean much more than that, to our kids, and that is a lot of what leads later to the sense of sort of how do we heal and how do we get, are we fixable, what is that about? So I very much hear your message about the balance, and I agree with you, but there's another part that's very troubling to me.
Yes.
The way in which we, I call it adultism, it's the way in which we really violate children normatively in our culture and don't even acknowledge it.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
if a manhole is broken in the process of being used, they fix it, but they line the cracks with 24 karat gold leaf to honor the history of the bowl, and that's what I see the cracks in the light come in.
That's beautiful, thank you. Other thoughts? Yes.
I just wanted to say I really appreciated your talk, and as someone who works with children with disabilities, the thing that comes up a lot is, there's what's wrong with me? Why can't I do anything right? Feeling lesser, feeling unworthy, stupid, not as good as anyone else, and the idea of that we're all the culmination of pieces that are separate and sometimes broken is a really powerful image, and I want to keep that with me. Mm-hmm.
It's hard, you know. I don't think I made... I don't know that I made clear enough that this message is hard. You know, this is hard stuff. And I forget your name, but you're a pediatrician?
Green.
Yes, Green. It makes such a good point about the various ways we come to be in the state that we are, you know, and that whether the expression temporarily able-bodied has come up in my world recently, a friend of mine who is a super athlete has said, someday my body will stop working altogether, and probably I will lose much of what I have now. And I was very impressed by his sense of vulnerability in the process. I'm being inarticulate, and I'm sorry, but I'm so impressed with all of your comments. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I'm so glad you addressed this in the depth that you did, because I have found personally and acknowledged that one of the greatest powers in my life is accepting my vulnerability. And so I encourage those of us that can and will at this time to do that, because I think you will find amazing powers within yourself, in the universe, and so on, with that kind of an attitude toward life. There is a crack in everything. And it really kind of rips me anymore that people say, oh, that's perfect. And I just like that. Perfect just goes over my nerves. So
well, I saw you delighting in Brené Brown.
Yes, I know.
And Brené Brown's discussions of vulnerability are very powerful.
Yes,
very powerful. Yes, in the back.
So I participate in a nonviolent communication practice group that was sort of born out of this group. Bringing Fred Sly here and hosting a workshop in nonviolent communication. And I just keep thinking that really what that practice is for me is a practice in understanding how never not broken we all are. And I think conceptually I know how that feels to me, and I know how important it is in my life, but I think that I'm understanding through your talk that it is sort of acknowledging that and honoring it in space with other people. So I encourage, if any of you are interested in that, you know, you can talk to me or talk to Patricia Kay. It's really lovely.
Yeah, nonviolent communication or compassionate communication was founded by Marshall Rosenberg, is that right? Yeah. Is a very powerful tool for engaging our own truth and meaning and other people's truth and meaning. Yes?
It's very difficult to hear your speech, not in any personal way, but I'm so driven to want to see the end of war the end of poverty and starvation, and to see health, to see us feeling our power, and to see that we can really change the world, that it's difficult to relate to the other piece. But thank you for saying it. I like Job a lot.
I was just thinking how what you said applies to individuals so well, but also to our group. We started to be perfect, wonderful, and welcoming, and strong, but we have our own unbroken parts, and your speech, your talk today helped me see that the light can come through those parts and be helpful.
I was working on another piece that I put on my blog that included the quotation by Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King that peace is not the absence of tension, it is the presence of justice. Yeah. And when we're in right relationship with each other, we can have conflict and have difficulty in a group, and it can still be fruitful. But we have to start with just relationships, right relationships with each other. Yes?
I'm thinking a little bit about what you were saying in terms of, and also what Madeline was saying about that idea of perfection and always striving and yet recognizing the imperfection. I don't think there's necessarily a contradiction there. I don't know that means stop trying. But I think it's also being, and I think everything's a moving target. As we know, the only thing that's constant is change. And so you may continue to strive in one area and get good at that or improve a situation personally or globally, what have you. But that's not to say something isn't going to pop up somewhere else. So I don't think we want to stop trying.
No.
But I think that we need to be okay with the fact that we're not there, that it's not a goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very good addition. Absolutely. We have time for maybe one more. Oh, and look, there you go.
I just want to throw a couple of words out here that really get in trouble, but please bear with me. Original sin. And to me, that's been a perversion and something that, you know, has taken me a lot of time to overcome some of those ideas. And so maybe the other extremist to go towards is perfection, but to me, this sounds like a real healthy way to deal with the brokenness of life. So thank you for that.
Thank you. The only other thing I do want to say, because Madeline said I could, is that you're welcome to read more about how I work in the world at my new ministry, thewayoftheriver.com. I do spiritual direction and offer classes and guided meditations, guided imagery, and that kind of thing.
It's not your perfect offering, is it?
It's if you see that video, you'll know it's not my perfect offering.
Well, I think we've really all opened up here, and a lot of light has come in today, and we really appreciate what you shared with us. Thank you.